Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thank you very much. I'm very happy to see some faces here, which I did not expect. And thank you very much. Even if it's only a few people, it's great. We all know the invitation came out late. I'm not responsible for that, I should say, but we are all responsible for it. So sorry about that, and thank you that you made your time available. I'm just going to give an introduction, basically, to what Atta's going to talk about tonight. Hello, let's first just take a quick break. Welcome, Donkey. Would you like to take a glass of wine, because you must have stress after that traffic? Is it all right? Okay.
I just had a run to the shake, so I should wait in one of the copies.
So, in any case, I'm going to start talking in the meantime. So I'll just basically give an introduction, and it's going to be very brief. I've got a number of slides that I'm going to work through, but I will speak to them to basically give our presenter tonight, the real presenter, the opportunity to talk about the papers, because IS 2020 is our fatal attractor at this point in time. So thank you very much for that. Aha, it works. Yes. So this is the agenda. Just to say, I cannot start without saying something about systems engineering. I think it's very important to me, but it's for the lecture. We've got an overview just of encoding very quick, encoding South Africa, and then something about 2020, and then I'll introduce Art after that. Good. So, systems engineering. Systems. Very simple. A system is something that comprises components, but not only components. They must be interconnected. It basically is the difference between a junkyard and, say, an automobile. In the automobile, the components are connected, and the other is just the heap of stuff, so that's not really a system. It is a system, but of a different nature, of course. But then again, it may not have the same emergent behavior than would something that's arranged. It's got interaction between the components. That's the one thing. And the other thing that's important is that you need to bound the system. And I often say that when we think about systems, the first thing we say, especially with the word engineering coupled to it, we think cars, bridges, old spacecraft, all that stuff. Of course, that's only one element of the thing, but I often say the person itself, do you want to take the human being inside or outside your boundary? And very often, and I found you on a smiling yard, he was my mentee for a time, thanks for the privilege to be able to have done that. And we don't want this congruence factor in the formula, basically. So once you've got the human being in, that's the unpredictable, the complex, and the chaotic element. Yep. So you can decide, should the person be inside, for instance, your boundary of your system or not? Just as a very, so it makes a big difference whether you look at the computer, you have the notebook computer at your system, or the person sitting behind it included as a system as well. So you need to bound the system, basically, and the system then is in the environment. And it's very important to be responsible towards that environment and to take all the characteristics of the environment into consideration when you think and develop and to define the system. So, and the other very important thing is, on a system, of course, it's a collection of components, so it's a sum of components, but actually when you interconnect them, you get an integral, you actually get some emergent behavior, which is very important. So that's a system, basically. You don't need to know much more than that. This is basically just to say that systems are all not only engineered systems. In fact, systems were there long before human even roamed the earth, and systems engineering is a creation of the human. Think about it that way. I mean, that is something that we created and we took. So, there was natural systems forever. What we're actually doing now, we're actually well on our way to destroy much of that. And then when the human race, the human being actually came up, we started out and we've got the social systems, very complex, unpredictable in many cases. And then of course, through our creations, we've got engineered systems. And then you can imagine where all those systems are Venn diagrams, when they overlap, they become very complex and maybe chaotic and even wicked systems when you go right to the center of that lot. But be it as it may, systems are ubiquitous, they're everywhere. So, just to take note of that. So, whether you engineer or not, what I'm trying to say is systems are everywhere. So, you just may as well accept that, and whatever you do, think systems. This is just some characteristics, comprises integrated, I've spoken about that, defined boundary properties arise from interactions, also the emergent behavior, of course, that flows from that. It must have some function or utility. You wouldn't do something that's just not going to give any utility, it's hardly worthwhile putting money and effort or whatever into that. And then, as we said, the system utility, the integrator must be bigger, the integrated part must be bigger than just the sum of the elements. It can be simple, complicated, complex, and chaotic. And it can be in any scale. Sorry, it's now just hidden behind there. It could be at any scale. There's a very nice Excel spreadsheet. Some of you might have seen it. I can go here tonight. But that actually takes you through the scales of the universe from everything to 10 to about 27 up there, meters down to 10 to about minus 35, 62 orders of magnitude. And if you get to the bottom of that lot, you end up with Planck's length and things like that, and string theory, where energy and mass start interacting, which we understand a little about Einstein so many years ago. So, the questions we could ask is a string a system or not? I don't know. Well, I'm saying everything bigger than that are systems of some sorts, whatever. So, any scale. And the other important thing, which is also hidden there, is got a life cycle. You must consider a system because there's a certain functionality as things develop over time. Certain things go out of, like a telephone went out when the cell phones came in. So technology can drive that things. A system has to be phased out, and you have to understand, if you develop a system, what is going to happen in the eventuality, like a nuclear power station, when you have to decommission it. What's going to do with that nuclear fuel? As an example. Okay, so no big shot. All of us know everything about that. So again, just in a nutshell here, to say it, system applies to different domains, which was that Venn diagram I showed, of all sizes, we've discussed that. It is a system as a whole, you look at the integrator of the system, you look across the life cycle, so it's got integration across the life cycle, and then it is associated, of course, with systems thinking, all this good stuff, system theory and what have you. And then, why do we do systems engineering? It's basically the first thing you'll see up there, and utterly, obviously, all the systems engineering courses, you guys are well aware, maybe I'll verify something. Got to respect that I built the thing, correctly, that I built it right, according to the spec. Second, but much more important, it was validating. Was the requirement actually what the client expected? Something totally different. And then, of course, we have to optimize utility of the right thing, because every environment means that you may have to look at the thing slightly different, and you have to make sure that this thing can survive in that environment. And then the very other important thing, to apply the right thing, this right thing that we built, responsibly. And that is actually, looking even a little bit further, that's an operations phase, the thing we have to say is, don't use a knife as a fork. You know what I mean? Anyways. And yes, and exactly, yes, you know, but you could use a knife to open the bottle of wine in desperate cases if there is a delivery problem on your corkscrew. So, and then the systems engineering is for who? Of course, systems engineers must know that, engineers, everyone must know it. Most important, actually, management should know that, and you guys may have to talk to management to allow you and themselves to understand this all better, looking at IS 2020, which is a huge opportunity for us lying ahead of us. Everyone needs to understand a little bit about that. And I've actually summed it up here, it's not rocket science. You don't need to be an Einstein to understand anything of systems engineering. It's a discipline. It's a way of going about life. It's having respect for yourself, having respect for everything around you, and trying to do a thing in the most efficient way. A left money out. Efficient way in all ways. To not destroy, because I'm doing this, I'm destroying something else from my day. So that's really what systems are all about. My opinion. I won't give you the opportunity to put this on that. Then I'm going over quickly to Incozy, and really I'm going to stop quickly. Who of you are not familiar with Incozy? Okay. I'm just going to, this is our vision and stuff. I'm not going to stand still on that at all. Basically, a better world through a systems approach. Again, we're taking the word engineering out of that lot. Systems approach, as you see where we were talking about the way you think, the way you conduct whatever you do. And the other thing is complex society. There we start getting in, not Boeings and Airbuses and stuff. We're talking society, the real technology, and all these wicked problems that we got no handle on. The next slide, basically, 18,000 members at the moment. We got three sectors, basically. Americas, EMEA, which we're part of, Asia, Oceania, 35 countries, 67 chapters. Some countries have got many chapters, like the States, for instance. And then you will also see this technical working groups. That's the engine of NCOSI. And that's also why the international workshop, the IW, we'll see later on, is there, the beginning of the year. That's where all the working groups come together. This year we have over 500 when we met in Los Angeles. So it's growing, it's huge. And that's where they generate. We got a huge, you could look on the website, from motor racing through to everything, up, reliability, engineering, everything you want, there's working groups. Many of them open, many of them are closed working groups, or some are closed working groups. The other important thing are the CABs, if we talk about the corporate advisory board. Those are big companies that actually buy into NCOSI, buy in the way that they actually pay a fee, initiation fee, and then every year, of course, you have to renew your membership, so to speak. And for that, basically, you can put someone on the board. And if you've got that someone on the board, that person can actually input from your company, like an Airbus, like a Boeing, like whatever other big company you might think of. There's over 100 of them now, 103 in fact, to in fact push things in the right direction where we believe systems engineering should go to. And then the other important thing is we also have to have academia in our ambit, basically. And we've now got 23, that's a little bit outdated, that one there. Universities that actually also pay a fee to be, and then of course they also involve in the same way, they're on the board, they can give directions. But a background that. I'm not standing still a lot on this. This is basically our services and products. On the left hand side there's our body of knowledge. If you look at the top in the middle there, you'll see that's our vision. There's a 2020 vision, wonderful, freely available on the website. If you look at the bottom there, that's basically our journals and things like that. There's some very good journals. There's an engineering journal amongst them, and that comes out 4 times a year. On the top left is our website, which is improving all the time. We know it's a bit slow from time to time, but it's there. And then, of course, the events on the right-hand side at the bottom there. So, the next thing, just to point out that we've got the certification, we want to recognize systems engineering for their abilities and stuff like that. Again, I think most of you are aware of that. And just wanting to say, and you've got the grades or the different levels. If you're old and grey, you can also go for the ESEP. And we've got Sarah Watts as our numero uno ESEP at this point in time, just to say at least we're there. We've got about 32 SEPs at this point in time. As a chapter. Okay, that's it for the chapter. The next is just NCOSI South Africa. Okay, fine. We basically, not going to go through all the detail there. Just wanted to say to you, we're about 400 members at the moment, but yes, we are pulling G's with the state of the economy at this point in time. So that's why it's important that we talk and we promote this huge opportunity that we have in IS 2020, which is just around the corner. And our website also is not perhaps as good as it should be at this point in time, but we've decided to basically relocate it, and we're going to put it on the NCOSI website, clone it to that website, and then yeah, so bear with us for a short while, please. Then I just wanted to say, what do we do here? Basically, like an evening, like tonight. Often tonight we'll talk about writing papers. We would get some good speaker or so, and then we would, about an interesting subject, and we would do that in our three branches, like 4 or 5 times a year in each branch. The other thing we do is like tutorials. We've had one or two that don't happen. Often they combine with our conferences, but in years when we haven't got a conference, or even interleave, we would have. You'll remember, you see the V on the glasses here, we were keeping course back here 2 years ago, 3 years ago. We do things like that, and then of course we have our annual conference, which I think most of you are aware of, which is a 3-day, 4-track type thing, and with, yeah, and the Jai Soy thing, which is very important to us that runs with that as well. Okay, so then the next one here is, why would you want to be a member? I think, yes, we've covered most of those things. There is all the SE professionals that you'll mingle with, especially if you attend events. You've got all the events you can attend. You've got the meetings, the webinars. There's lots of webinars, very interesting things as well, by the way. You remember, you get them. Like every month there's something. and there's a set program. And of course, remember, even an evening like tonight, everything you earn CPD points, continuing professional development points, which if you're a professional engineer, you need to have those things so that you gain. And then, of course, we've got our range of products, which I've covered earlier on as well. Okay, and then you can join, basically. The bottom line is the bottom line, then line of brands, that's the key at this point in time. And yeah, there's also some small print around that, but we can discuss that over a bottle of wine. Don't want to take much time at this point in time. Then IS 2020. If we look at our international events, I've already alluded to that. ISS, middle of the year, July. And then we have the international workshops in January every year. That's just the way the cycle works. And you can understand these things must fit in together in the bigger picture. It's also a system in the most certain way that people can have time to prepare for all these things. So this year, Orlando, this is now in July. And that's also when the call papers will come out, just by the way, you'll see later on, for 2020. And then next year in red is our prize. International workshops, I just put up the first one there. There's also a MIA sector workshops every second year now. This year it will be in Netherlands, that's the one there, you see there. IS 2020, that's the one that we were, or RW, that was what we had this year, we'll have next year again. And then the interesting thing about 21 is that for the first time we're hoping to have an IW outside the United States of America. We're looking at Europe, we're looking at Spain or places like that in the southern part. Just as a matter of interest. So that takes us to what I just wanted to say before I introduce that. This, we know, has been happening since 1990. Next year will be the 30th year of the conference. You see the 2009 in the center of that little diagram there. I attended IS 2009 in Singapore, and I was in treasurer of South Africa chapter. And I walked around there and I looked at this log and I said, hey, what about South Africa? How about a conference in South Africa? The guys looked at me and said, where are you from? Africa. Okay. So, long story short, I will not spend time on that. We can do it over a glass of wine. We had 2014, which was great for us. That was the EMEA sector thing. And thank you for all those who participated. And now we've got 700 to 1,000 seats that we have to fill just around the corner next year. And not only seats to be filled, we need lots of papers. We're looking at like 30 to 60 papers from South Africa. That's what I promised. We won't get it done. I hope not. Okay. We had no papers last year and the year before, by the way, from South Africa. So if you look at just a broad thing on the slide, on the stuff, the theme, we will be having a wide theme. There was very, very good feedback from the MIASEC, because we coupled the theme to the United Nations, to the real complex problems, not the things that we understand like building aircraft. Everyone could do that. You know, because it's, most problems have been solved. You just need money. And if you haven't got money, you take, then you have to sometimes use your product line, like some of the airline have to do at the moment, sadly. So, yes. So, those are the type of things that we'll be looking at. And it's not been defined yet totally. And of course, any inputs from you guys, any thoughts or so to get a nice catchy, high-level theme type thing would be appreciated. And then of course, as we mentioned here, because of the decline in the defense sector, which unfortunately has been our sort of stronghold in the past, we need to reach out wherever we can. And I'm happy tonight already, I'm seeing stuff here around us. Transnet is here. And there's just wonderful things happening around us, totally outside the engineering environment, all systems related. And remember the best paper of South Africa, 4 or 5 years ago, was from a lady, it was Leo Malone's wife, totally out on the, what was it, the park, or what have you. So, scope is open, that's wonderful. So, then basically, again, not standing still a lot here, we will have having our own stuff to try and make it South Africa. It must be something that will be remembered. It's just not, as far as we're concerned, an IS. It's the southern tip of Africa, IS, and they will remember the good stuff from this country. And so they will. And I've got a long list of people that's already booking the tickets, I can tell you now, from the states and everywhere around the world. But thousands, a lot of people. So, we go on here, what the technical program, we're looking at keynotes and stuff like that, obviously, which we can also contribute. The number of tracks, typically 8 tracks, that's what Incozy does, 8 tracks, it's a huge conference. So we might reduce if there's not enough papers, but I think we're going to have surprise everyone. And then invited tracks, you'll see, and I specifically put that in also this afternoon, that in for SKA, we're hoping that SKA is a huge program, international program, we're hoping it's going to also give us something to cling on to and make us a little bit special, especially from a technology point of view. And then we've got other societies and stuff that we're talking about. I don't want to bore you on that one now, because just to know, and the G-Tides or the challenge, we'd like also to feature strongly there, not only for us going doing the challenge, but to show the model that we in South Africa have something they've got nowhere else in other chapters, so we can actually tell them how we to read. So we're looking forward, we're not having challenge this year. We're going to only have it next, because our conference, by the way, is also not going to happen this year. I'm not intending to say, well, I'm telling you now, basically. And that, so that we can properly gear up for the IS 2020. Also, the papers would have been in conflict, because as you know, you already have to start submitting papers for 2020 before our conference this year, if it had been. So we decided not to have a conference. Look at this. This is the keynote speakers we're thinking about. So we're working on Elon. We'll see. Yeah, and then we've also got maybe as a format we're thinking there, SpaceX. It's a lady who's the CEO there. And then Fritjof Capra, I put the name on the list there. Huge systems thinker, bigger than any of us can ever imagine. That's real big stuff. So one never knows, let's have a look. And then of course we've got local people, you'll see there, we've got Bernie up there from SKA. Yeah. And so various others as well, Gerard Swart. And SE also has Incozy, that's behind the icon there. Incozy also has a list of backups, but we don't want to use the backup. We want to be proud, we want to get people that originated from our country or whatever. And you know that Elon is planning to get Tesla, and our idea here is next year, November, in South Africa, so who knows. Okay, challenges, just have to quickly just broadly say this is very important. The fees will not be 6,000 rands. It's going to be approximately 19,500. I just did a rough calculation, so, but it will be something closer to 20,000. It is an international conference, and I can tell you one thing. If you look, I get from time to time, I get emails promoting conferences. You go to any of these, they all cost 20,000, 25,000 rands. So we've just been spoiled, basically. But just bear in mind, that doesn't seem to go to South Africa conference and this. So just bear that in mind. And of course, you don't have to go overseas. So that's the total cost. Of course, there's still accommodation if you are not in Cape Town. But nevertheless. And then the other thing is, I mentioned that because we had huge support from our event industry, but unfortunately, that's not so rosy at this point in time. But then again, there's lots of opportunities. Forget about the challenges, but we have to bear them in mind. We can never forget about them. They're always going to be knocking at our door. We've got chapter's share of the conference proceeds. So if we don't make a profit in non-profit organizations, we can make a surplus. And if we have a surplus there in South Africa, chapter will get a certain percentage of that. And that we're happy. We've decided as a chapter to plow that back to supporting people who are submitting papers, for example, and stuff like that. Remember, we're not organizing this conference, it's in Cozy Central, we're only giving support. So I'm talking here, I'm not arranging anything like with the 2014. We're only supporting. And then there's chapter reserves, which we had from 2014, hugely successful conference in almost every manner you can imagine. And then even South African tourism, when I went and we negotiated with the ICC, they said to us, but the tourism actually gives money to support tourism to South Africa. So we got funding there, quite substantial funding that we can apply as well. So wonderful, there's things we don't know about, we don't arrange these things. Then there's attendance boosting, we're looking at joint events with other societies, all those things, maybe tracks, radio astronomy track, sponsorship, anchor sponsors, we have to look at that, and of course we have to look at local sponsors to the best that we can. And then basically tourist attraction, and we'll never forget that, because that's part of the parcel that we're selling to people, is that when you come here, make use of that. People say to me, but will my company pay? I say, think about it slightly differently. Maybe you tell them I'm going on holiday in any case, my family, because I always wanted to go, but I never managed to get to Saturday. So I do that, and then I ask the company, would you just pay my fees for the conference? System solution.
Okay. No, but as a thought, don't just always think, I must be, you know, why must everything, you know, you invest something for yourself as well sometimes, you know. And people do go on holiday. What's wrong with South Africa? And just aligning it with Cape Town. And now they say it's winter. I say, hey, best time of the year for Kruger National Park. By far. There's always a solution to any challenge. Okay, so then, what can we do? Local promotion, which I'm part of busy doing here now. Papers, tutorials, panel sessions, chapter liaison, we need a liaison. I may not be that, I'm treasurer of Inkosi, so I've got conflict of interest. So we've got Kobus Bobberitter now, who is our president elect for South Africa chapter, will be doing that, I'll be supporting him in the background. Technical program chair, we need something like that, so that we can give, and then also we need technical reviewers. We've got many reviewers in South Africa that can do a high quality, that can assist in reviewing the papers. And then a conference, we've got obviously delegates and presenters, sorry about this thing in the bad space here. Master of ceremonies, we need, we can propose that. Thank you, Gerard. I don't know how to get through this, I think. And then, oh, you can just, oh, okay, minimize. Okay. I'm not assisting you. I don't know what's up there. And then, of course, we can give some support if we just go past that quickly. Sorry. Donkey, thank you for that. Okay, I'm not going to stand still. We have to look at here. The only thing I want to say here is we have got government. We have to look strongly at government. Because what we're talking about here, we look at our theme, we look at high level, at our wicked problems that our country has got enough of them. Not only our country, the world has got them. But we also have them, and so we'll be addressing that. So we're looking at various stuff which I've covered. We've got the value proposition, and this I'm not going to skip over now. I had a presentation to SKA, but just to show to you, this is a type of marketing we're doing now here. This is a huge thing. And then this one here as well, just to say what they can do. We can think of facts. Just think about RFI. It's one of the biggest issues, radio frequency interference, of course, and that could be a very interesting topic maybe for a tutorial. Okay, just for papers, I will now be introducing UK very briefly. On the Inkosi website, if you look at the 2019, that's the next picture, you'll find all the stuff there. Every year it's the same sort of stuff, and if you want to know what sort of papers have been done, and things like that, what the formats and stuff, it's all there. You can have a look at this. We'll distribute this after the time, so you can have a look at it. That's the web page, basically, for 2019. This afternoon when I logged it in, 114 days left. Okay, and that's it. So, we can discuss this over a glass of wine. I'm not stealing much time at this point in time, and your time for that matter. So our guest speaker for this afternoon, for this evening, is Ad. And the occasion was specifically arranged to say let's boost paper writing for IS 2020, so there were ulterior motives. And thank you for coming and listening to this, because I'm seeing lots of papers coming in. That's great stuff. But I'm not going to look at all, but there's so many things. I reduced it as much as I could. It's still too much to even show. So, looking back at Ad, his degrees at the top there. Independent lecturer, and that's actually, I think, how we know Ad for all the many, many, many years. That's the second bullet that you got there. And he's got project management courses at the Business Leadership School, postgraduate at the GSTM, Pretoria. He does lots of in-house training, he's done lots of overseas training and stuff like that. And he's also with the PMI. That's great stuff, because Inkosi and PMI are driving together very well at this point in time, because we actually have to live together, we share the same space. And also thank you very much, Ad and myself were at Denver in 2010, and Ad walked up to me and said to me, hey, you know, because those days I was still doing the review of the paper. Papers and stuff, what do I know about things like that? He said to me, no, you know, I'm happy to assist. I said, he's like, I'm here, you have a big hug. And we actually
came to
I nearly did. I said, so yes. So it just shows you, so we meet, so things happen. He came to me and said, no, part of it. And I said, he's like, what is this like? And that happened in Denver a lot, yeah. So it shows you, attend these international conferences, wonderful things happen there. 29 in Singapore was before 2020, and so I can tell you many stories. Okay, so, and Ad has been, the reason 2014 is not in there,
is because we had Miyasek and up to a bit of a sabbatical that year, we, and so that is why for sure. And yeah, up until last year. Thank you very much, Art, for that. And then Art also did lots of stuff, you know, journals obviously, and also when he goes to study our local chapter and some things, articles and papers, he used to do that for us. Thanks for that as well, Art. So with that, I'm saying no more. Art, the floor is yours. Thank you. Sorry, this is Art. Yes, that's it. It's dead. It must be finished.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. I want to talk about Tilling's writer's block, or how to write the conference paper. Science and engineering is a profession that only advance if we have an open, transparent interchange of ideas between practitioners. Ideas, concepts, best practices, principles, etc., etc. And the instrument to do that, of course, is a paper. Papers are the lifeblood of any profession. Without that, the profession dies. It's crucially important. The paper, however, will only get published if it survives, and that's the correct word, a paper review process. And that paper review process is done by peers, guys like you and me. The paper reviewer needs to, number one, scrutinize the content. Number two, verify that it has merit. And then number three, certify that it is publishable, that it has adequate quality. So that plays a very important role. I'll be talking about papers, I'll be talking about paper review process, and I'll be talking about writer's block and how to do that as well. We're a small group. If you've got a question, stop me. Don't wait until later on. Let's keep this as a discussion. Writer's block is psychological inhibition. That's important. It's a psychological hang-up. Preventing an author from starting, or proceeding, or finishing to write. That's what the dictionary says. Everybody that I know suffers with writer's block. It's a very common thing, and we need to master that. That's what I want to talk about. There's a wide spectrum of possibilities, and I'll be talking about some of them. On the one hand, we have presentation only. That's a paperless paper. The problem is that this cannot be reviewed because that means nothing to review. The International Symposium of Inkos does have presentation only track, but it's not in the proceedings. Inkos of Africa, we've never done that because you can't review it and you cannot. It often becomes a commercial breach. The second opportunity or thing is the conference paper. I'll be talking a lot about that. And then on the other edge of the spectrum is a journal paper. This is completely research-based. If it ain't research, you can't publish it in a journal. And I'll be talking a little bit about that. The stuff I want to talk about is really the conference papers and a little bit about the journal papers. As you move down that spectrum, the originality increases. If it ain't original, you're not going to publish it in the journal. The formality increases, the type of language that people use, etc., and the citation, and of course citations. You need lots of them. Presentation needs none. Conference paper, of course, does, and the journal paper even more. So, I want to talk about the criteria of writing a paper, or rather, when papers will be accepted. And I'm basing this on IS 2019. That's been published. One of these months, the IS 2020 paper evaluation criteria will be published. I presume it will be identical. And the first point is obvious. A paper should advance the system's engineering body of knowledge. If it doesn't do that, don't bother. What do we mean with the body of knowledge? Dictionary. The complete set of concepts, terms, standards, activities, in other words, structured knowledge, that defines a professional domain. And then second part, the practitioner is certified to have mastered that body of knowledge. That's of course what CSEP does, Certified System of Engineering Profession. So that's what it's all about. It continues, the paper should address or have a clear connection to systems engineering. Interesting one. A paper that is only concerned with other areas, for instance, software development, project management, is not acceptable. That's debatable. I don't think it's fair. Number one, the boundaries of systems engineering are very fluid. And number two, without project management, you can't do no systems engineering. Number three, what systems engineers are worried about is what systems engineers are worried about? Apologies, but. What systems engineers are working on today is what the software people did about 10, 15 years ago. They are leading by far, hence saying it's own stuff. Paper content should be usable, obviously. Advance the systems engineering body of knowledge sufficiently complete to understand the paper's use. And then should include sufficient supporting information to enable the reader to assess the effectiveness of a stated position, all according to those paper evaluation criteria. A paper should not be used for the promotion of any commercial product or interest. That's a very sensitive thing, and if it has even the faintest whiff of that, ain't going to be accepted. Should not promote or voice an opinion on political or religious matters. Even though it does have a religion, but that's called systems engineering. Maybe should not have been previously presented to even though yet. And then, if the material has been previously presented, this should be noted. That's very strange. I presume they mean if it has been presented at non-imposed events. Well, doesn't say that.
Yes, probably.
The question is, does this paper provide usable systems engineering information, novice or seen practitioners? Does it provide insight to enable an advancer? Authors cite all sources used, important, to support assertions, arguments. Help readers find more information, check it out. Give credit to other authors whose work is used. I am a dwarf, but I'm standing on the shoulder of giants. Yes, I can see much further than those giants. That's the idea with following lots of other authors, to help avoid plagiarism. Now, when you're talking about journal papers, the best journal for systems engineering papers you can buy at the CMA at the end of each month. It's known as Mad Magazine. Particularly, Don Martin. Yeah, may I show this guy something?
You are welcome. You were almost asleep.
Yeah. The inventor at the novelty company. And here is this guy, man. He is very proud of himself. He's been systems engineering that workshop of his, and he says, at last I've got it. The most original novelty gun to ever hit the market. And he is very proud of himself. And he says, wait till the boss sees this. I'll get a raise immediately. Why? He might even give me a percentage of the stock of the company shares. And he marches to his boss. And he walks into his office and checks that boss. And he says, sorry to barge in on you like this, JC, but I've just invented a novelty gimmick 20 years ahead of its time. First up in here, he says, watch. And he pulls the trigger. Doesn't make a noise, but a little flag comes out and says, BAM! And the boss checks that out. Checks his face. And he checks him again, and you can see this inventor, his self-confidence is diminishing rapidly. And the boss opens his mouth and says, you got me, pal! Flop! And then he says, you're fine, I'll be here.
Are these guys allowed to laugh?
Yeah. You can tell them. Permission granted.
Thank you. Examples. This is straight from the call for papers of typical copies of papers. Insights into the development, application, and evolution of existing or new systems engineering processes. For example, if you think about traceability. Traceability in systems engineering is really limited to requirements traceability. But clearly, if I have a requirement here that I can trace up or wherever it goes, who is actually going to do something about this? There should also be a trace to the activity in the work paper structure. And from that activity, who's responsible, what's the budget, what's the schedule, what's the status? Traceability over much wider, that would be a great topic. Domain-specific application of generic principles, concepts, processes, or methods. And radio astronomy, certainly in the earlier days, that was a domain-specific application of generic principles. Refinement of existing principles, enabling an expanded view of or new insight into existing applications. This gets boring. Methods of analysis, modeling of customer needs and requirements. We use things like CORE in model-based systems engineering. Why come the logic of whether something is a requirement or not is fairly straightforward. We didn't find it. Why isn't that built into CORE, for example, model-based systems engineering tools? Techniques for applying existing concepts to automation of specific systems engineering tasks, processes. This is interesting. Recorded observations that indicate the need for new processes, techniques, or understanding in the application of systems engineering.
You know, under SKA radar story, we found out this thing. And you know, everybody's bitching about this. Why shouldn't that become a process in systems engineering,
for example? Recorded observations, which triggers research. Insights, techniques for applying, tailoring new standards. These things come out. How are we going to apply it? Specific techniques for measuring project performance against the project plan, requirements, and schedule. Almost pure project management. Application of new principles, concepts. Innovative approaches or applications of principles. Practical experience, insights into selection, implementation, use of tools. That's important. Without those tools, we can't do things we need to do. Specific techniques assessing the effectiveness of an existing, modified, new process using capability maturity models. Clearly, the value of systems engineering processes depends on the team that's actually using it. Now, what is the capability of that team? And without that capability, how do we measure that? And that's where the whole like, concept of capability maturity, what's Humphrey's followers in software in the 1990s, important. How do we use that in systems engineering? Breakthroughs in obtaining executive management support, understanding of systems engineering principles, and how those breakthroughs were actually achieved. Good question. At about the same moment in time, the Pebble Bed Modular Reactor started, and the SKA, Cuckton, then Mary Cuckton, then SKA started. Once was stopped, Pebble Bed. Why did that fail, and why did the SKA be so wrong? What's the difference? What can we learn from that? Again, we're not doing this kind of research. We should. One Tuesday morning on Easter Island, way out in the Pacific. And you may remember, these guys have these huge statues of heads of people. And there you see two archaeologists walking up, and this guy says, it's my belief, Davison, that these statues date back to the Ice Age, which is a long time ago. And they stand there, and they start digging up. That's what archaeologists do. And you guys say,
You may be right, Dr. Qwerty. Check that, and that's the family name of his Qwerty. And yeah.
The call for paper also says what the paper should not do. Purpose should not be to train the audience in the application of proprietary tool. We have tools for that, tutorials. Don't do that in the conference paper. The paper should not be a review of or reference to any particular part or all systems engineering. There is a place for reviews, it's very valuable, but that's a journal paper. It's not a conference presentation, conference paper. Should not represent a clear case of conflict of interest. The paper's content, obvious, should advance the systems engineering body of knowledge. Substantive, logical, yeah. Should back up assertions with supportive data. Should be effectively conveyed, integrate key concepts. It's not only the written part of the paper, it's also the presentation that's rather important. So, why write a paper? It's difficult. There's a lot of work in it. It's not an afternoon's work. So, why on earth would you want to write a paper? And the key point is, the author is the guy who benefits most. You who's writing. By far, the biggest beneficiary thereof. Why? Important, finalizing, closing out the project's learning process. We've been working on this project for 2 years. I'm now going to get a new task, but before I start that, I should just look back and consolidate and formalize and learn the lessons, close out the learning process. We don't do that, but that's by far the best tool. This is what Benjamin Disraeli said, the best way to master a topic is to write it out. Yes, I've always thought it is to start teaching it, and that's true. But this actually is a stronger one. Create an objective CV independent from your employer. So I've been working for this place for 10, 15, 20 years, and everybody knows me. I'm the expert on this, that, and the other, and people know me. Now for some other reason, our journey separates, and I need to go to a new place. Nobody knows me. And I can say something on my CV, but nobody believes me. If you've published papers, that's objective evidence of what you've done, what you've learned, what you can convey to your new employer. Important. Raise your professional profile, similar to the one we discussed a minute ago. Obtain immense satisfaction. You may not believe it, but it's yours. You've done it. And that, hey, that's great. Thank you, sir. Another visit to the doctor's office. And here is this doctor sitting there, man. Check that nose of his. And then this guy walks in and says, something very strange has happened to my head, doctor. He says, what's this? And he has a dart in his hand, his fingers. And he puts the dart in his mouth, little finger there, and goes like this with his head, or with his finger, and whoop, he pushes his head and it sort of collapses inside. And as that happens, out goes the dart. And you can see it sort of frittery, you know, it goes back to its original position, and he's back. Man, this is wonderful. I said, well, that's a doctor. I spread him here, huh? And there's the doctor. Something about the paper reading process. It's crucially important. This is the quality assurance of the paper, done by peers. I've said this before, scrutinize the paper content, verify the paper's merit, certify the paper's publishability. That's important. And here are some models that are used for pre-publication paper reviews. There's also post publication paper review. It was a landmark paper 10 years ago, and perhaps it's worth our while just to look at that again. And was it correct, and how was it implemented? And that's post-publication. We're only talking about pre-publication. There are really three models that are used. The first one is open review. It means the author knows the reviewers, and the reviewer knows the author. That's what it says there. The author knows who the reviewers are, reviewers knew who the author is. Increased transparency, everybody can see it. Reviewers might be prone to bias, either positive bias or negative biases. Vusi, he's an expert on the top. If he wrote it, it must be good. Surpass, or the other way around. Then we have single-blind review. This is a very complex, actually the most used one internationally. There, the author does not know who the reviewers are, but the reviewers know who the author is. So it's blind in only one direction. The reviewer may provide an honest opinion without the fear of retribution. And that's important. These things happen. You read lots of novels on, you know, yes, that kind of issue. The reviewer's comments may be overly harsh or critical. He doesn't know who this is. He's blind, sir. The reviewer may uncover and then unfairly use commercially sensitive competitive information. It happens, but it's not a big issue. The reviewer may launch or continue with a personal vendetta. Don't put it beyond the profession that these things happen. And then we have double blind. Author doesn't know the reviewers, reviewers don't know the author. And that is almost the gold standard. With Inco South Africa conference, we have tried to do that, and we're not far from actually doing that quite nicely. The reviewer may focus purely on the research, personalities are out of the issue. Personal biases are induced, he doesn't know who the guy is. Personal attacks cannot happen because you don't even have the masterpiece. Difficult to manage because there needs to be an intermediary where the author submits a paper, it needs to be anonymized and then sent out to the reviewers. And when the reviewers come back, it needs to be anonymized and then, yeah, a little bit less. In a small community, identities may easily be unmarked. Man, I'm a reviewer and this is a paper on radio astronomy. That must be the SAA. And all this guy's writing about integration and commission, that must be Lord Richard who wrote this. And a small community, and of course that's true for South Africa as well. Reviewer feedback, maybe to be personal. Important, a paper review is not an exercise in punishment. The idea is that the reviewer provides an objective, second opinion, constructively, so that the author can improve the quality of the paper. That's all. You're not trying to punish yourself. Before you become an author, you first need to become a critical reader. Read papers. See how they're structured. See how people make their assertions. See how things get vetted or justified or so. Critical reader. John. Your mother is not a critical reader. This is what Isaac Asimov said about it. He knows about these things. Rejection slips, paper reviews, or other feedback, however tactfully phrased, are cuts into your soul. Death by a thousand cuts. If not quite inventions of the devil, but there ain't no way around. It's the only mechanism we have. If you're right at the edge of the knowledge where we are today, boundaries, how do you check the quality of that? And that's reviews. Clear writing. Now, it's a major issue. Guys write stuff and you read this and you have no idea what he's saying. That is the all of us. Clear, that's what the dictionary says. Easily understood. free from doubt, confusion, ambiguity, misunderstanding. That's very easy to have. You don't want it. And this is what Goethe said, if you wish to write clearly, you should first be clear in your own thoughts. And if you haven't got that, you're going to have a hard time writing your own thing. It's the lift phenomenon. In other words, you enter the lift going up to the fourth floor, and here's your boss or some other key guy in the company, and you've got 5 seconds to tell him what you want, this is all about. And it's a 5-second test. That's the kind of stuff you need to be absolutely clear about. Mark Twain said, I never write Metropolis because I can get the same meaningful city. I never write policeman because I can get the same value for cop. Keep it simple. Word economy. Now, of course, we use technical language, but word economy. Keep it simple. Say what you really mean what you say. Old saying. It's difficult. Malaysian?
Oh, yes, using the rapid, indeed. Please.
Thank you, sir. And it is horrible. And this guy has been practicing for years now. And he says, look, I can kick my head. And he shows it. He says, but you can't do that. And he says, oh, yeah, and he kicks it. He says, I think I worded that poorly. And this happens for all the lives. So I want to say a few things about the journal paper. And I've got some practical experience on this, which I'll share with you. It's painful, but it works. In May 2015, I submitted a paper to the Journal of Systems Engineering called The Life Cycle of a Requirement, Revisiting, Validation, Verification. And, resubmitted it a year later. I renamed it Unscrambling the Concepts of Validation and Verification. What's the problem with that title? A good friend of mine, I showed it to him later on, he said, what were you thinking of? What you say is that everybody else is you don't think I have the right answer. That makes it true. So I said, look at it, January this year, a critical evaluation of the mental and reasoning models underlying validation verification. No, problem. And I'll rewrite it. I said, look at it. This is what happens. Don't take it personal. I don't think it's intended personally, but now, as a tip, just to show you how these things get done, I can't shift this in my head. I'm not going to apply that. Anyway, that doesn't really matter. The first column is what the reviewers say. And the guy says, this paper contributes to systems engineering community by clearly defining the difference between validation and verification. Knowing the difference between these keywords is very important when trying to sell a system, product, or component to a customer. And I said, that's my answer. Thank you, sir. Just as polish. Second guy says, He says, in my opinion, the paper had no contribution. And I have a long story what I did, but I said, I'm not saying that you're an arsehole or something. And it continues like that. And he says, attempting to grasp the differences, and there's an answer. This is great to please remember when you do have reviews. As a covering letter, have something like this, so that the guy doesn't have to go back and record what I'm saying and why. Word for word what he said, and your answer. Very, very good.
I still understand. You're right. So you submitted the paper the first time, and you got the reviews back from the reviewers.
Yeah.
And then your master supplement with your second
master. Yes, yes, yes. So this is a covering letter really to the new head. Of course you're welcome not to you know, to just peel away.
Yeah.
And remember, it's the author's paper. It's not the reviewer's paper. The reviewer can recommend that you do this, that, or the other. They can't tell you to do it. Of course, if you don't do it, you might get published. That's the way it is. Now, just to say something about the research-based systems engineering, also in South Africa. Key point, systems engineering is a standards-driven profession. And here are two key standards, you know as well as I do, 15288, ISO 26702, which is the old IEEE 1220, how do you do systems engineering? All of these, it says in the title, have a long bunch of processes to perform. Here you can see 15288, it's got 30 processes, all of them listed there, and the four process groups. Integration, verification, transition, that, etc., etc. Now, there's an assumption behind this, and it's an important assumption. So there's a product. This can be a manufactured product, it can be a developed product, doesn't really matter. What we're interested in is, how can we assure the quality of that product? What does quality mean? Does it satisfy the stakeholder requirements? If it does, that's quality, else ain't no quality. So how do we do this? Well, obvious way, why don't we inspect or test this product against those stakeholder requirements? And that's a great way of doing it. Wonderful. And we'll find out, does it have quality or not? What's the problem with that? The assumption is you've got a product. It exists. You can measure it. Now, what about something? If we wait until then, it's too late to find out that there's poor quality. It's much too late. So, that's not good enough. And that's, of course, the old assumption that quality people taught us in the 1920s, focus on the process. The product doesn't drop from heaven and all of a sudden it's here. It is the result of a process. And the quality of the process determines the quality of the product. What do? We select an appropriate process, we tailor it, customize it, and then we control the hell out of it. So this is the process control. That's the assumption behind all of these standards. To put that in words, the quality of the product is determined by the quality of the process used to generate that product. Nobody talks about it, but that's the assumption. And that leads us straight into the problem of a proxy. What's a proxy? Dictionary. The authority to relate someone else, often in voting. Somebody who acts on your behalf. What's the problem? Rather than managing quality, which is really what we're supposed to do, we merely comply to the best practice processes defined in the standard. On the assumption, if we do the processes, the quality will be perfect. See to me. It's a very logical thing, it's intuitively correct. Hasn't ever been proven that this is the case. That's the question. Is there any objective evidence obtained by empirical research that the process approach to systems engineering, as defined in best practice standard, actually delivers improved quality? And I don't follow the literature completely, but I don't remember that I've ever seen a paper even talking about little improvements. There's a very fertile field for lots of PhDs and master's degrees. It's a major issue. So we've got the product, and we say, man, we can't inspect that, let's focus on the process. To use different words, the product is often known as the created system. Equipment, software, people, operators, mechanics, the created system. The process that creates it is known as the creating system. people like you and me, plus models and computer software and laboratories and tests, whatever, creating system. And what we say, we're going to focus on the creating system, which is fine, but just remember one thing. That's a social system. It's not an engineering system, it's people. It's a people-based system, a social system. Individuals, their culture, how they interact, which means that research in systems engineering is social science research. It's not like physics and chemistry where you do experiments and hypotheses and you test it and social system research, which is what systems engineering is all about. A very common research approach is what's known as ex post facto, which is Latin for after the fact. And in words, it's really this. An ex post facto research design studies what has already happened, history. It luckily turns out that one project did use these systems engineering techniques and another did not. Both projects being similar, comparable, starting before the research study started. And now we look at the difference in outcomes between those two projects. And if there's a difference, we ascribe that to the processes that they used. Be careful. The most one can conclude from an ex post facto research design is that an increase in product quality tends to be associated with the use of systems engineering process. Associated, linked, but it's a weak verb. The stronger version would be correlated. If we use more processes, the quality goes up or down, or you go correlated. Even that's much stronger than associated. But, of course, the key point is, even if you were to have correlation, it doesn't prove causation, cause and effect. And that's really what we'd like to know. How do you research that? How do you prove that? It's a major problem, and yeah, guys can't say enough about it. There's a lot of research to be done. You start to understand them now.
Please continue.
Good. And here is this guy, man. The ship sank about 2 hours ago, and he made it, man, on this huge Pacific Ocean island. He's made it by the Spear of Steve. And there you can see the flotsam, the wood, how he got to the island. And, man, he's right in there. It turns out, just before the ship sank, he happened to visit the bridge, and he noticed the longitude and the latitude. And he said, marooned, latitude, longitude, same ship. And he signs it, and he seals it in the bottle, puts a nice fork on that, and he launches it. And he's waiting, man. You can see there's his lunch, the remnants of his lunch, and his breakfast, and yesterday's dinner, and he's sitting there, and his hair is getting longer. And he's much older now, and he says, yes. Yeah. What can you say? Yeah. I want to just make two extended quotations, which are rather interesting. The comfort with which ISO 15288, which is really the backbone of systems engineering, can be accepted in a given context depends on cultural dimensions, social system, such as the manner in which instruction is given. Is that command by specific action? Step 1, step 2, step 3? Or is that command by intent? I think you should investigate that and give it more attention. Communication. Is that specific and detailed? Open or general? The manner in which people normally work together. Is that collegial or master-servant? You'll be surprised how much master-servant is still around in professions. The attitudes to availability of information, is that shared or is it closely guarded, you know, for political ammunition? Means of dealing with problems, are we apportioning blame, perhaps some negligence or generating solutions. Because
sorry, is the assumption here that the second one is the right, the one that maps better with 52AA?
I'm leaving that to your own insight, sir.
Right.
No, those are just extremes on the whole spectrum.
Okay.
And you know,
it would be interesting actually to actually figure out what type of culture is closely.
So how do we measure a culture? Yeah, but those are great research questions. That's the point. These dimensions differ across national contexts, ethnic concepts, industry contexts. And this is, I'm quoting a guy called Tim Ferriss from IS 2006 in those. Cross-cultural issues. Somebody else said, work on software development methodology, and I'm using software as an example, they were there before systems engineers were, must undergo a profound transformation. It should renounce its current reliance on fashion, political style propaganda, turning instead to a serious scientific endeavor based on theory, experimental validation. As in politics, more accurately, bad politics, the emphasis currently is not on substantial solutions to our problems, but on slogans, propaganda, emotions. He continues, ideas are not presented through careful discussions of pros and cons, but marketed like brands, and they are spread by gurus delivering the holy word. I'm one of those gurus, sorry. These are signs of immaturity. The software engineering discipline needs to become adult. 2012, CMAT, the software engineering method and theory. That's equally important to systems engineering. We need research, and research papers and journals to sort out these problems.
Look at your recommendations. Just for the cost of research, is only by collecting data is more from past examples of systems processes. Yeah. So when you're actually trying to change the system, you've got no research backup because you're trying to bring in something novel. So the bias of open mindedness, or how do you convince somebody to change the way of thinking when this is a valid standard?
Absolutely. That's the problem.
In a paper publishing, if you're writing something which is novel, it's not going to be accepted because people don't understand it, or it's not working for that.
Especially if it's far beyond the current state of the art, as we really should be aiming at. Absolutely. 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 Few words about writer's block. So the point I was making is there's a very fertile field for research and journal papers, you know, which are based upon that. Writer's block does not exist. Its real name is procrastination. What's that mean? Neither is tomorrow, man. Today, tomorrow is another day. No. Why? I'm afraid of using that word. I don't want to make sure I've got a perfect. I'm paralyzed by imagined opinions of my would-be readers. What's that guy going to say? I'm not yet ready to commit to the task. And this is it. Remember we said, writer's block is a psychological inhibition. And this is one of the keys of that. Another one is perfection paralysis. It's got to be perfect. Inside the absolutely nothing. I write nothing until I can exquisitely phrase brilliant ideas that will be loved by every person who reads them. Which means I write nothing. Now, write. Start writing. You can always edit the take on and improve. And then the paper review will also help you to improve it. But start doing something. If you wait for this, you ain't going to do nothing. Some people say, never edit whilst you are writing. I'm not sure I agree with that. I always edit as I write them. But, this is what some people say. This guy said, write it down. Take chances. It may be bad, but it's the only way you can write anything really good. You've got to start somewhere and then improve here. Don't wait until it's perfect, you'll never get there. This is the best
solution to writer's block. Solvitur ambulantur. Solvitur, put that in parentheses, the problem will be solved by walking around. Walking on your own. And your mind starts working. You think out all these ideas and check them out and think about this. For me, it certainly works very well. Don't take anybody along. You can talk to yourself about it. You can shout at yourself. Don't take dogs along because they sniff here and there. Your whole thinking process is undermined. But this is a very, very good tool. Friedrich Nietzsche said, never trust a thought that occurs indoors. He said, all truly great thoughts are conceived while walking. And there's a lot of truth in that. Fuck off a print, it's bar.
Not the show, but the best page.
Yeah.
We're running out of water. Oh, I
know. Please.
In the doctor's office. And there's the doctor waiting for customers, twirling his stethoscope around. And this guy comes walking. Check those toes, man. John?
Check
idea. Check idea. And he says, doctor, a very strange thing happened to me during the night. He says, and he sits down, check how he crosses his feet, and he lifts his hat, and there's a flower growing from his head. I think it's very weird. And the doctor, John, he's seen this before, and check the tongue of his. And he says, so, you got a flower growing out of your head. What's so strange about that? And the guy squeezed his nose and out into a jet of water. That is weird. Yes. And that's all I'm going to say. Are there any questions on anything I've said? I've tried to, first of all, discuss what the paper is, what the criteria are, how it gets evaluated. I've discussed the paper review process. I've made the point, conference papers are easy. Journal papers are a damn sight more difficult. It's based on the original research. But we need them. And then I said a little bit about killing your writer's block, stop walking around. It's a very good tool. Are there any questions? Yeah, John.
John. So, university has got tools for checking plagiarism.
Yes, sir.
How does a review who doesn't have access to these tools check that this is just a cut and paste?
We started doing this last year at the University of Africa conference. We went through that. There are various software tools that do this to check the, now, what level is acceptable, what level is not acceptable. Because remember, you may have written yourself a paper about this, and you're repeating some of the same stuff, and it will show that up. So, how much commonality or should be acceptable or not? Maybe. But yes, this is getting used more and more. That's what the editor should do. And the conference organizing committee, not the media.
Well,
okay. But it should be
done. Well, you just wanted to check the plagiarism.
Yeah. Plagiarism, they're cool for it.
So you guys said that the one thing is to check the plagiarism.
Yes.
Yes. Any game in the system.
Go on. Go on, question.
I'm trying to contact the people who are my company because the person is like building in the business.
Yeah.
So it's there. So you can't keep it up. So for interesting, for example, in Canada, the specific PhD is to actually work. So you can't really keep it out of that. You basically need to marketing and testing and business and so you can't really keep.
But that's not the correct word. It's not keeping it up. It's trying to get commercial gain from it. That's the reach. Are you using this for commercial marketing of the company? If it's just a concept, which of course originated in the company, that's just a perfect example.
But
if it's case-based
research,
case
becomes part of commercial. That's
not the main. It's there. Case study research is a well accepted service science thing. No problems. In principle.
Yeah.
It's the commercial game, I think that's what you do.
In the last slide.
This one? Yes, sir.
Dr. Martin made the shoes.
I tell you, it's another Martin there. Dr. Martin. Thank you, that's
very observant.
Hello.
And talk about lack of research in terms of plastic engineering. Why is it, yeah, maybe I might be wrong, but why is it engineering only discovered post-grad? Like, why is it not instilled in undergrad? So that people can, like, young students can know about system engineering and then can be actually prone to aim for it and then do a lot of, I think we can get more masters and PhDs out of this system engineering field when this is still getting in undergrad.
It's a contentious issue. Do we do that pre-grad, undergrad or post-grad? The problem with graduate degrees, pre-grad, if you put something in, you first prepare something out. So what are we going to remove if you put in system building here? That's the first question. Second question, it's pointless giving somebody an answer to a question they've never yet answered. To a large extent, it's practice based on real life situations. That's where it's systems engineering. Yes, we can put systems thinking, for example, underground, but they won't be that out. That's a problem. And you were yourself there, man. Another valid Friday morning is before lunch. I'm not going to go there.
Go have early lunch.
That's bank, you know, bank the stuff, but thing with it, so. Undergraduate students are paid to resist bastards. They won't take any nonsense. That's that wrong. But it's a contentious point. Lots of people make exactly the same point you were making.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Three from us.
Two, one, please.
Thank you, sir.
I'm talking about appreciate.
Thank you.